Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mark Grody.
I can't remember the last time that the Chicago Bears arrived at their off week, their bye week, and we all weren't saying things like, man, do we need this? We all need a break from the Bears.
The number one thing we've got going for us right now is we're into the bye.
That is not the case this time around. In terms of what we do and what the people listening do, be Bears fans, I can't wait. October 27th is way too long a ways.
Where would we be without football?
Week 7 in the National Football League.
Packers along the sidelines, hand in hand. Here's the snap, low snap, placement made, kick to the upright, and it is gone!
Yes!
It is gone!
Yes!
It is gone! The Green Bay Packers have won! Brandon McManus, 45-yard field goal. Welcome to Green Bay!
29-28 Vikings lead. Rookie Hogan Hatton snaps. Snap spot. Bates end over end. Kick is good. And that's the ball game. The Detroit Lions beat the Minnesota Vikings 31-29 and have claimed first place in the NFC North.
Four across the line for Carolina. Daniels snap, throws to the right. Eckler hit as he makes the catch at the 5-yard line. After that drive ended, Logan, you were about 5 feet away from the training staff looking at Jaden Daniels. What did you see?
Yeah, it looks like he's a little bit of discomfort at the moment, like left side, left rib area. He just went into the tent now. We'll keep you updated.
Fourth down, less than a yard for a touchdown. Mahomes takes the snap and wants to throw it. He'll step up into the pocket. Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes.
Football's so great.
The harrowing bye week that no one enjoys.
Bye weeks. Bronco Nagurski didn't get no bye weeks. And now he's dead. Well, maybe they're a good thing.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
No one better in the business than Chris Tannehill at getting you ready for whatever it is that we're going to say stupidly here on this show. By the way, we didn't get to mention this during our segment with Kurt Warner. Did y'all see Patrick Mahomes lower his shoulder pad into a dude's chest plate?
Yes.
And lay him out at the goal line?
Same drive after the quarter had flipped, but same drive where he took advantage of everybody's terror at picking up a 15-yard penalty on the sideline by getting an extra 20 on a scramble.
Yeah, and then he did the thing where he's down the field 10 yards,
yeah,
and he's faking the pass, and people are like, oh, yeah, he's totally going to pass, even though he's 10 yards past the line of scrimmage.
It's like 2-on-2 with the automatic quarterback when I was a kid, just before we broke Greg Sabo's arm and we all had to stop playing.
Uh-huh.
Poor Greg Sabo.
Well, why don't we ask Patrick about that yesterday?
Patrick?
Patrick about that, because Patrick, that run that he had at the goal line, he laid that dude out. Patrick, what were you thinking when you had that QB run there to put that defender down?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I've been leaning into a little bit, but real quick, Speaks, it's absolutely nothing like you breaking a kid's arm. It's not. This is a different level. I know I did it to Mr. Rice, Mr. Rishi Rice, Mr. Rice. So I'm trying new things, and I can't help it if the opposition are dumbasses.
They did seem to be dumbasses. Did you know you were going to fool them? Did you have the confidence that you were going to fool them?
I never lack confidence. I know I'm going to fool them all the time, and I fool the restaurants when I walk in there. And I put ketchup on my well-done steak. I fooled him. I'm always looking to fool him.
He always ends up with ketchup.
What's scary?
Always ends up there.
The Chiefs actually don't look good.
And they're undefeated.
We don't. This is just a new era in our tour.
Yeah.
It's a new era.
What is this era? You're just winning without putting up big numbers. It's unbelievable.
This is winning Patrick's version. I'm just doing the best I can.
I think it's going to turn out great. I mean, they'd still be the team that I'd pick to win the Super Bowl this year. But we've stalled long enough.
Mm.
Hold on. What? I got to set this up for the people, then I'm going to move out of the way.
Uh-huh.
I don't even want to be in the shot.
You don't even.
when Connor puts this
fine. You don't get to have any of the glory when it comes to
the Twitter machine.
You get none of the glory.
And on the Instagram machine.
Yeah.
I want ISO cam on this man right here. Let's get it right now.
Okay.
My partner, Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
Has a proclamation.
I do. That's right. hereby that the Bears will have to pass at least one team. God, I flubbed that last note just a little bit. The Bears will have to pass at least one team in the NFC North, the mighty NFC North. And after watching yesterday's action, I know who it's going to be. I know how they're going to do it as well. Because Jordan Love puts the ball in harm's way, baby. Sloppy overthrow on that second interception off the back foot. He's taking more chances. He's forcing balls into coverage more than he did even a year ago. They lost the turnover battle to Houston and still won that game. They lose the turnover battle 3-0 to the Bears. They're not winning that game. And now with Caleb Williams, I'm saying it right now. Bears are going to sweep the Packers.
More arrogance.
Hey, damn right, Wayne Larrivee. You don't scare me just because you went to Emerson, because you're a nice person. Whatever. Bears are going to sweep the Packers this year. It's time. I don't care that Matt LaFleur has never lost to this team. I don't care that the Bears are 0-8 in this decade, and they're 4-25 going back to the last decade. I don't care. All right? That the Packers have won 28 out of the last 32. I don't care. It's time. Caleb's good, and Jordan Love is flawed. Bears going to sweep the Packers. Damn Skippy. Write it down.
I hope that it comes true for you.
It's time.
For you specifically. Not even for the Bears.
I was thinking that it
for
would...
For you, but can I yeah. just ask a question?
Sure, sure.
Why not go for the split? Why not say... This is the year where the Bears start to make a move. I'm picking the Bears to win at Soldier Field. Mm-hmm. And why we have to go 0-100 real quick?
Because Caleb is showing you that 100 is possible. Okay. If the Bears are going to do what they dream of doing, which is be a playoff team, and hell, even get over the 9.5, you know? You're gonna have to do some stuff here down the stretch of a difficult schedule. I just think the way that this team has coalesced and come together on offense and the quality of this defense, man, and Jordan Love. I mean, you guys said it yourself. I forget which one of you said it in the pre-show meeting.
Tanny,
I almost took it. Made it part of my big proclamation, but I didn't. Tanny, so you say it. Go ahead.
I said in the meeting that it appears that Jordan Love is more Brett Favre than Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Now, granted,
that's
Brett Favre.
That's all that he said, though.
Granted, Brett Favre also very good against
Hall
the Bears.
Hall of Fame football
yeah,
player.
Yeah,
also very good.
But even with the two interceptions, he had a 95 rating yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he could be an elite quarterback if he stopped being a double agent out there and giving the ball away to the opponent at inopportune times. And there's no opportune time to give up the football. But listen to his coach yesterday talking about him. This was after something good, right? They asked him, what about that drive that led them down to field goal position at the end of the game? Here's what he said.
I just talked to him about it. That's his superpower. No matter what's happened, whether good or bad, he he continues to fight and be resilient. And just the moment's never too big for him. But I thought that was huge for him to be able to take us all the way down the field and get an opportunity right there to kick a field goal. Obviously, the quarterback's number one job is to take care of the football, but I also don't think, you know, especially today, we always put them in the best positions to throw the football. So, again, we'll take a look at it, you know, and evaluate it and be critical of ourselves, myself, more than anybody.
Yeah, okay. He's making excuses. He's making excuses for him.
Can I ask another question?
Not yet. The Bears secondary is going to intercept Jordan Love twice.
All right.
Yes.
Are they going to make any game plan adjustments? This has been living in my head rent-free since the last Packer game when Quani B went on with Lawrence's old show and was talking about why they didn't press those wide receivers up at the line.
I remember it very...
Do you think Flus remembers?
I not only does Flus remember... there is now a different atmosphere around Halas where feedback from your quality players is listened to and taken. And it was both Jaquan who said it to you and Jalen who said it to us.
Jalen didn't play that game, by the way. Footnote to that.
Right. But Jalen said, like, you know, the way they talked about stuff in exit interviews, that's when Jalen brought it up. That's when we talked about it with Jalen in exit interviews. They would like to press more. All those wide receivers that they have, they're not going to let those guys get open. It's going to be a very different approach. I believe in this secondary, and it's I think the Bears are going to sweep the Packers.
Can we worry about the Commanders, Cardinals, and Patriots before we predict the Bears picking off the Packers twice
that
4 weeks from now?
Right there, what you just said.
But here's the
thing. I appreciate your passion for this. I want to sweep the Packers as well. And Lawrence, I think you should probably backtrack and not say you're okay with the Bears loss, because this clip is going to run on the Twitch stream for a long time. So people are going to say you want to split. We don't do that here in Chicago, Lawrence. We don't split.
I'm just saying that you're going from never beating these guys to sweeping them.
I know.
In a season where they're really good too.
Right. Perhaps. I just want to get through two Packers with health.
Well, I just want to ask a question.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not germane to the point.
Joe Germain is always germane to the point.
So, Caleb ever played a game up in Green Bay?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm aware.
All right.
He doesn't get nervous, Lawrence.
Sure.
He's never once gotten nervous.
I was listening to Dan and Marshall today, and Marshall had a stat. The Bears still only 3 road wins under Matt Eberflus. So which of those 3 road wins inspires confidence? They will go up to Lambeau the last game of the season, which will likely be a deciding factor in playoff positioning for one of those two teams, if not both.
Andy, you play the games you're scheduled. The Bears have only played 5 road games under Matt Eberflus.
That's true. That's a very good record, then.
I have another question.
Well, but here's the thing. By the time we get there, Bears will have already won the first game here, and they'll need that one, and there'll be a lot of tension and a lot of drama.
Well,
that'll
be Sunday Night Football if that's the case, because that's week 18. There's no Sunday night game on the schedule. Mm-hmm. So for stuff like this, but I have another question. Why, if you were looking at the 3 teams that are ahead of the Bears,
and that's what I was. So before you ask your question, let me say, you remember last week. I was saying one of these teams is going to have to crap the bed or come back to the pack, or the Bears are going to have to overcome them. As of right now, today, all 4 would be in the playoffs, but that is a very, very slim margin. It's something that's never happened since realignment in 2002. So if the Bears are going to get in, they have to get by somebody. I don't think it's going to be Detroit. I'm not so sure it's going to be Minnesota yesterday. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Green Bay.
That's my question. Mm-hmm. If I were looking for the weak player here at the poker table, I would start looking at Minnesota because their quarterback doesn't have a history. The other 2 quarterbacks do, including Jordan Love last year.
Yeah, and what else is in Jordan Love's history last year? Terrible interception in the postseason.
But that was 2 minutes away from him going to the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm just saying that if I were choosing, the choice would be not the better, like, if I look at the quarterback coach combination, I think Kevin O'Connell's really good at his job. I'm not trying to take a shot at him. But if I'm looking at the quarterback coach combination and I see Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold versus Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, it makes me and Packers defense pretty good.
Yeah, but there's also the inevitability factor, Lawrence, of it can't hold on forever. You can't go from
Favre. Is that the gambler's fallacy?
No, but
they're due? Is that the argument that you're making?
No.
The Bears are due to win?
It's a small factor in it, but we know we have Caleb. I believe in Caleb more than you. That's what it is. That's part of where we are here.
No, that's not it.
I believe that Caleb
hasn't
is going to do
anybody
it.
Yet. He didn't even beat the Rams. Matt Stafford beat the Rams. He didn't beat the Titans. Will Levis beat the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Beating the last two. He's going to beat some more.
He's
going to beat some more.
As a meatball, I want to be on board with you, but I think this needs to be a little bit more level-headed. I understand sports radio is not level-headed, and we're about takes.
I'm not doing it for the take.
Are you sure? Because it kind of feels takey to me.
And that's never how I've rolled.
Danny, I mean, Speaks, I really need you.
No, man. I had the vision of
feels
it.
Feels a little tanky.
All year long, I've had the vision of this thing coming together, and I think this thing has come together.
Well, Mariah Carey had a vision of love, and then she ended up with Nick Cannon.
It's a really good song, that first song. I mean, her vocal.
That first album is just amazing.
That first album is unbelievable, and you're like, how is this woman possible?
Why does she have 8 octaves? It doesn't make any damn sense.
But
Nick Cannon is hilarious.
It's time. It's time, in addition to Caleb being ready and Caleb being here.
Everything. How?
I want to ride with you, Speaks. I do.
You don't have to.
We're certainly due, man. Because even in the NFL, where it's a week-to-week league, year-to-year, and the Bears haven't beaten them since 2018.
It's insane.
Are you kidding me, Coach?
It's absolutely.
2018. Beat the Packers.
You know the last year they swept him? Was
1946.
2007. What's crazy about that year is that the Packers went 13-3 and lost 2 games to the Bears.
Then it was a successful season for the Bears.
I don't know, Speaks. You're smarter than to just say it's going to happen.
Amen. When we were talking to Grody like a month ago, I said, you know, I just had a vision of this whole thing coming together because they ran the ball and they started to put it together with the short passes. Caleb is really good in structure. He's really good with the short passes and the layups. And then they started working the intermediate, and now they're working it down the field, and the whole thing's coming together. Cole Kmet told you right there. And I just think the Packers and Love are vulnerable.
Okay.
I'm staking out my claim, man. You don't have to come with me.
I am not. I am not going to come with you on this one. If you would have said to me, this is the year they start to break through, they're going to win that game at Soldier Field, I'd be like, you know what, Speaks? I feel you on that.
I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I'm saying that Detroit is the class of the division.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. If the Bears end up sweeping the Packers, if they're that good, they better be winning the division. So you have them being swept by Detroit.
I have very, very possibly being swept by Detroit.
And you have them splitting with the Vikings.
Yes. The only team I look at them and I'm like, they're going to have to sweep one of these three teams. And to me, it's Green Bay.
I've got another question for you.
It's also time.
I take issue with.
It's been time.
And normally I don't take issue with wild like assumptions like that. But you said earlier that one of the four teams has to crap out. They have to. Why do they have to do it? Sam Darnold was an MVP candidate for a second. Sam Darnold is running a very complex but measured offense. Jared Goff is the MVP. Jordan Love has more options under 25 and one of the best defenses in football, and he's playing MVP-type football without the injury, without the stupid picks. Why does one of the four have to crap out when they haven't showed you that they're going to?
And why can't the one be the Bears?
Oh, it could very well be the Bears.
The NFL assumes it's the Bears, and Sam Darnold is the quarterback of the Vikings.
Well, the NFL is often wrong. The gambling markets are often wrong, and the great fun of the parity in this league is that there is turnover. That there are times when finally the nail rises up. What the hell, people? We live in a town where eventually the Cubs rose up. You know, I was born and bred a Red Sox fan. I have been at the bottom of that freaking rivalry. I've been the nail to the hammer in the rivalry.
See, this
and
is
eventually
what,
it does break through.
This is what happened and when Caleb he wears is the Dave reason. Roberts shirt. That's what all this is. He wore the Dave Roberts shirt last week, and now he's like, this is going to happen.
Hey, man, it's time, and sometimes there's a special group or a special dude. You know yourself. We've been talking about it since draft day. We have one. We have one now.
I don't disagree with you on that.
And so that's going to be the headline at the end of his year is going to be, wow, Caleb finally showed that the Bears have a quarterback who's better than the Packers.
It's rough to sweep teams.
I hear there's a lot more going on than just a quarterback. I know. Football, very complicated game.
Matt LaFleur is undefeated against the Bears.
I know.
Matt Eberflus really is yet coach. To win against Green Bay.
Yeah,
when it comes down to it, like, let's say both these quarterbacks are both on an equal plane here. When it comes down to it, how is Matt Eberflus going to put a scheme together to beat Matt LaFleur in a close game? I'm having a hard time seeing it right now.
Oh, he's having a tremendous year defensively as a schemer and as a blitzer. Is Matt Eberflus? He's having a phenomenal year at doing that. It's a question of whether, you know, Shane Waldron and the offense continues to evolve, and there's certainly concerns, but man, it is going to be the year. It's going to be the year finally. I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
You must know about like changes to the offensive line that they're going to make before week 17 and 18.
No, a lot of people coming back and being available here. Ryan Bates coming back and being available.
Can't wait for him.
Tell you what,
the center that no one else wanted.
I don't want to seem like a doubter here because I want it more than anything in the world. Of course, beating the Packers one time, I want more than anything in the world. But twice, forget it. If they do it twice, I'll bring in all the Danish Kringles and all the brats.
There you go. We'll
you got to celebrate. Buy them for the Colts too, right?
What?
Thank you, Chuck. To be clear.
To be clear,
the reasoning is this, that the Bears have a top five defense that is only getting better, that Caleb Williams is that dude and is a real NFL quarterback, and we haven't had it, and he is only going to keep getting better, and that Jordan Love puts the ball into harm's way and will be beaten by this Bears secondary, which is the best unit on a really good defense. And also, the fourth reason is that it's freaking time.
Keep that one as the fourth.
It's fourth. But it's part of it.
So yesterday, when you were watching games, right?
Yeah, I was. Football games.
You watched them all, right?
A lot of them.
Did you watch the Packers-Texans?
I sure did, yeah. Good game.
How many passing yards did C.J. Stroud have?
86.
Okay.
Yeah.
What award did he win last year?
I think Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sweet. Okay.
I'm on it.
I want this so badly for you.
Well, no, you don't get any part of it, though.
Oh, I didn't say for me. I said I want this for you. And I don't want the opposite to happen, which we have not talked about at all. If the opposite happens, you know who's getting blamed for that, right?
Danny?
No.
No, it's not how that works anymore.
Here's the thing. I don't think Danny would say this.
That's fine.
We'll have to text Breakfast Ball and find out if he would. But if this goes the other way, no more proclamations for you.
Oh, ever. How dare you. How
I think
dare
sucks you. Is back on the table for Jordan Love.
Well, yeah. That was idiotic. That was
really?
Unreasonably stupid. He said sucks.
Back on the table for Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, he doesn't suck. He's just risky. He's just risky, and this Bears secondary is going to make him pay.
Okay. I hope that you're right, man.
Thank you, buddy.
That would be awesome if you were right, and you will get all the credit in the world from me. But they are going to rain down fire on you if the Bears lose both these games. I just want you to know that that's what's going to happen. They're already calling you mush inside of the Twitch stream.
I have no fear. I have no fear of such things.
I like it. I like it. I don't like it. Not one bit. But when we come back, there's another football thing that we need to discuss. Let's talk about holograms and illusions.
Tom Brady breaks people's brains, man.
Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Look at this duo. He's all grown up. Look at you two. I love the mashup between you two, by the way. It's like two great comic books that I used to collect are now a team up.
Afternoons on The Score.
Again, a really another good, powerful run. And there's Steve Spagnuolo. He's been the bane of my existence. I still have PTSD from some of those blitzes in the 2007 Super Bowl. But I know my friend Michael Strahan says he's the greatest guy in the world. But I don't want to hear that. I do not want to hear that. He's been the bane of my existence.
He's done an amazing job.
What a coach he is.
That's right, Batman. Steve Spagnuolo is the bane.
People of Gotham, please stop listening to Tom Brady.
Yeah, mine really does have more Bill Cosby in it.
Yes, I'm waiting for Bane to want a Jell-O pudding pop.
Jell-O pudding pops. If you're not careful, you just might learn something.
Don't leave your Jell-O pudding pops alone.
You think you're in charge here?
Taught Bane on Bane action.
I'd like to say something for the record here before we really get into this segment.
Sure.
I am not predisposed to disliking Tom Brady.
Okay.
Okay. Like I'm not. Like I found him to be in certain formats really compelling. I even enjoyed the podcast he did with Larry Fitzgerald and Jim Gray. And I thought that was still when he was a player. And he'd give you like really interesting stuff. I feel like there's a part of me that, and Shane, you can probably attest to this. There's a part of me that wants to produce Tom Brady. That's like, look, man, I'd want to be someone that he actually trusts and listens to and say, Tom, this thing that you're doing where you're with the game, that's not it. Mm. You could have build your own platform for Fox. You whether he did an inside the NFL type show every week for Fox, or he had his own segment away from the craziness of the Fox pregame show, there are other things where I think he would be so good at. When I listened to him, and that was I was listening to that when it happened live, and I thought that was a very human moment for him to be frustrated because Spagnuolo was the one that really frustrated him in the Super Bowl.
Is yesterday doing the Chiefs-Niners game.
I just, it's not working for me.
I didn't hear much of that in real time yesterday. So I didn't hear Brady doing the game. So my I don't have a take on him yesterday doing the game. Last week, the game that I caught last week, I thought it was good. I thought it was a lot better than it was on opening week.
He's not turn off the TV bad. Okay? Like I don't want to he's not that. It's just that everything still feels so forced. And it feels like, you know what it feels like? It feels like Tom is at a dry erase board and he is explaining football, capital F, instead of the game that you're watching.
Instead of just hanging out with you and watching the game.
Yeah, and kind of telling you what's going on.
Now, I get that.
Now, maybe the reason for that is because he can't do the job the way that other color analysts do. Maybe he is conflicted. Maybe, and we talked about this last week, like the idea of ownership versus being the color analyst. And I think eventually he'll choose ownership, and that's where he'll throw all of that energy that he has for the game. Because I will say that does come across, and I think that that's a positive. Is that you can tell how much he loves football. It's just hard for him to convey it from play to play or big play to play.
Well, and that's the kind of thing that maybe would get better the more he does it. I do think he's gotten better through the weeks already, and he's such a grinder and such a worker that he will get better. But there's like a human connection part and like a natural entertainer part that in some ways you have or you don't have. Like Peyton Manning has a natural entertainer and presenter thing that Brady is trying to inhabit and pretend.
I think it's possible. I think Tom Brady has that in him.
I've never seen it as a natural entertainer.
You have, though. You saw it after the Bucks won the championship.
Well, he was wasted as all hell.
But it was in there. Him being an entertainer, him just being one of the guys.
That's a reveler more than it is an entertainer and a presenter. Oh,
okay.
You know?
All I'm saying is that I think Tom is trying to be Tom Brady instead of being Tom Brady.
Well, it's interesting. My thing after seeing the goofiness yesterday that we're going to get to in a minute is realizing that like all the powers that be, like the NFL and Fox are so incredibly enamored with him that they're like falling over backwards to let him do whatever. And we've obviously seen that with the absurd contract with the network before he'd ever broadcast a game. They paid him for a year before he ever did anything. And the bumping of Greg Olsen and the handing of the number one job to him. But now this thing where like, they're letting him be an owner and a broadcaster. And as a broadcast entity, as a network, you're accepting an inferior product in terms of the possible information that you could get because he can't go to the meetings. And as an NFL, the league is accepting an owner who's compromised by being a broadcaster. It's like, it's a crazy thing. And then there was this thing yesterday. This is a little supercut mashup of like a really awkward 3.5 minutes where all the people on the Fox pregame show stood there and pretended that either A, Tom Brady was actually there, or B, through the magic of a hologram, it was totally normal to be talking to an empty space and having a fake conversation.
We are in Los Angeles. Tom Brady is in Santa Clara getting ready to call that game, but through the magic of television, boom. There he is, joining us right now. That is cool. I like
What's
that.
Wow.
Oh. Hey, Tom, you've been on the receiving end of a lot of interviews.
Up,
now you're conducting them. You're a real TV guy now. Did you like that?
Hey, first time ever literally sitting on the other side in the other chair. And I kept asking our producer, Joel, I'm like, am I doing this right? How many questions do I got? Can I look that on my notes? But it was really just a fun experience.
And what can the Niners do to try and get over the hump against Kansas City today?
Well, I think it's I call it two words, competitive stamina.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Get some rest. Have a great call in between. He's in Silicon Valley, tech capital of the world, really. So use our technology, boom. And there he goes. Okay,
come on in here, Jimmy, because okay. He's gone. Kick him out of here. But I mean, the technology is really cool nowadays, what you can do.
No, it isn't. The whole thing was so stupid and so uncomfortable, and it's like, why are you pretending? And it wasn't a conversation. They couldn't have any give and take. And like Howie Long tried to play along at one point. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I hear you, Tom. But it was clearly like a pre-cut piece of Tom on tape that they turned into a hologram, pretend it was a conversation. You don't need to do this. You don't need to fall over backwards to try and use Tom Brady in some freaking theoretically revolutionary way. It just looks so stupid.
When what you could do is just use the technology that you have and have him via satellite.
You could do that. He's probably sleeping.
About football.
He's probably sleeping.
He's not sleeping.
Or not sleeping, but he's not available because the game is later, so you don't have him on the clock yet. Then don't use him in your freaking pregame show or use a pre-cut thing from the day before.
Yeah, it's
they're falling over backwards because they all fetishize Brady.
Don't hate on the technology. If we could do hologram Wani, we would do it right now, and you know it.
Hey, we just got access to guests on Zoom like yesterday, so I don't think we're getting hologram
and HD.
Yeah, and HD.
We got HD in here.
Yeah, TV's still 17 inches, but
we're pretty excited about the
like 32s, right?
All right, let's bring in hologram Wani right now.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
You know, it's a good point. He'd be available even if he was doing something. That'd be amazing to have hologram Wani.
Whoa,
hologram Wani should go on tour with, you know.
Tupac?
Yeah, with Tupac.
Who'd be your top hologram right now if it wasn't Wani?
God, it's a good question.
To have in studio, in that third chair.
The mini fridge?
The mini fridge, yeah. Hologram mini fridge.
Well, I can just go get that.
The hologram crutch.
Get your mouth shut.
Hologram. Who else you got in there?
Just those two.
That works for me.
Came together last minute.
Hologram crutch.
Get your mouth shut.
I know what I want. I want a hologram Chuck Swirsky. He'd be great.
What?
He'd be phenomenal to have.
What?
I like the hologram sound effect. That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Feels like the technology is newer than the sound effect.
Could we get a hologram Dustin Rhodes in here?
You mean television star Dustin Rhodes?
That's TV's Dustin Rhodes,
CHSN.
Oh, that's right.
Morning Takeist.
Yeah, Dustin Rhodes. Dustin's going to be in there 7 to 9. You can watch the boys on CHSN.
I don't use special sauces on food items.
If you thought this segment was absurd, wait until you hear the next one on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
We'd like to end the show with some fun. Sometimes we're having it and we don't realize that we're having it. And Hub Arkish reminds us, and it's really nice. It's really helpful.
It's a very important thing. And I'm glad that Hub's here to remind us.
Thank God. What do we have today, boys? We have some thoughtful sound from intelligent speakers who bring in sports heroes for no particular reason, right?
Yeah, we have a former president who went out there in Pennsylvania, said a lot of stuff, and then he also served French fries in a McDonald's and had some well wishes for a presidential candidate. We'll do the first one first.
It's Kamala's birthday.
She's turning 60
years old.
Do you want to say anything?
Yes, I would say happy birthday, Kamala. She's turning 60.
Did you get her some fries?
I think I'll get her some flowers.
Why not debate her?
Maybe
again?
I'll get her some fries. You're right. That might be. I'll give her some McDonald's. I'll get her a McDonald's hamburger.
Thank you.
No, it is her birthday. Why it is true, right?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Kamala. Happy birthday. Why see you later. Bye. Her. Thank you, everybody.
See, that's lovely. Just wish Kamala a happy birthday.
This is very nice of him.
That's lovely.
He doesn't have to do that.
No.
But he did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. That was nice. The other part, how can I say this? The other part, he talked about one of the most famous athletes in American history, in Arnold Palmer.
We're still going to play that one.
I know. I'm just setting it up.
Yeah. So he talked about iced tea and lemonade together, right?
No, he didn't talk about that. He also didn't talk about Arnold Palmer's golf game. He talked about a little bit about Arnie's army a little bit.
It's a one-man army. Apparently.
And why he had an army.
But Arnold Palmer was all man. And I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women. But this guy... This is a guy that was all man. This man was strong and tough. And I refuse to say it, but when he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there, they said, oh, my God, that's unbelievable. I had to say it. We have women that are highly sophisticated here.
Everything that he says to try and mitigate it really only makes it worse. I love women. Nobody was doubting that or wondering, but thanks for mentioning. We have women that are at least sophisticated. Then why did you do it? I'm not going to say it. And then he said it. Then he said, I had to say it. But none of that makes any of it any better. Just none of it.
There was a response, by the way.
From the Arnold Palmer Foundation?
Yes.
Really?
From his family.
From his
his daughter.
This is a guy that was all man.
Oh, no. I didn't realize they responded.
Yeah.
They probably weren't thrilled, I'm guessing.
They were not thrilled, and they took it as an opportunity to do something about it as it pertains to presidential politics. I want to make sure I get the right one because, you know, there's all sorts of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Here it is. This is from Arnold Palmer's daughter. My dad didn't like people who were nasty and rude. He had no patience for people who were dishonest and a cheat. He was appalled by Trump's lack of civility and Trump's lack of character. And was a lifelong Democrat.
So there's that.
So
he took showers with the other pros. They came out of there. They said, oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
Let me
use your imagination and you're probably right.
Let me go on. Arnold Palmer was a proud American of great talent and endowment in many areas.
No, that's not a real quote. There's no way that's a real quote.
There you go.
Okay. Was that a real quote?
No.
Okay. Oh, God.
It should have been.
That deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
What? What?
When in doubt.
Wait, let me give you one more.
Give us Chuck. Yeah, that's, you know, I had never heard that about Arnold Palmer. It's not something that's like, you know, there's people that you've heard of that about in this world. In the culture where it comes up and stuff.
It's always a strange thing when you see people fetishizing that.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a weird I don't know.
It's totally normal to not have people bragging about it, by the way, too, right? It's totally normal if you're dating someone to not have them go around saying, wow, he's built like Arnold Palmer. It's totally normal and it's fine to be normal.
Yes. But Arnold Palmer was all man. And I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women.
Just for the guys out there, you don't have to be Arnold Palmer. It's totally fine and okay to not be Arnold Palmer.
You could be Milton Berle, which I think is also very impressive.
Right.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Milton Berle's daughters have released a statement. They're upset with me, and I understand.
These are strange times.
These are very strange times.
You had Sage being called Paige. These are strange times we are living in.
It's all going to be over soon.
Is it true that, you know, some places like with the fries, since we're talking about size, in some places, like if you order a large fry and a small fry, it's the same amount of fries?
I've heard that the size of the fries is very important. But I haven't let it get in my head through the years.
I've heard that, like, that's a thing. Where
it would make sense. Like, Starbucks does it with the amount of ice they put in glasses, depending on what size the glass is, depending on what drink it is. That so a tall words, and a venti could be the same.
Order the small fries. It's probably better for you anyway, though, right? You do that.
Yeah, so many places just give you like a massive bag of fries, no matter what size.
Oh, those are the best
what
places.
What size you get.
Rick and Benny's, let's go.
Five Guys. Five Guys just gives you a huge old bag of fries.
And they let you know like where the potatoes came from with the fries are from.
Yeah, they're right there.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Boise or wherever potatoes are grown. I don't know. Wow, we have done a show today. We have done a radio show
today. We were
today.
Out there and we were doing it. Tomorrow?
Chewing it and doing it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's very important. Thanks to our guests, Kurt Warner, Mark Grody, Colton Pouncey, all great guests on the show. Tomorrow, we're going to have a lot of fun as well. We are back inside of Bears Week for sure. For Tanny and Shane and my partner out on the ledge, Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We appreciate the love that you showed us. We will try to repay you in kind tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Spiegel and Holmes.
Happy birthday, Kamala. Happy birthday. See you later. Bye. Thank you, everybody.